Thanks, Barb. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Sue Bejan. She's a parent. Sue is an active member of FOUR, a 21-year-old daughter who graduated in 2000, and, wait for this, guys, 15-year-old triplets. So you'd better listen to her. Mind you, some of us teach 29 15-year-olds all at once, so I guess there's some parallel there. I have one 15-year-old, by the way, and he's enough. And there's people out there who've taught him who will know what I'm talking about. According to Sue, her triplets had better graduate in 2006. One of the triplets has been diagnosed with ADHD, and Sue has been an advocate for him throughout his career in school. She has experience with the public education system as a student in Vancouver and Victoria, as a parent, as a school secretary, and now as the office manager for the Sioux Teachers Association. Sue is an advocate not only for her own children, but for public education and its benefits. Please join me in welcoming Sue Bejan.
Before I begin, I would like to thank BCTF for the opportunity to express one parent's view on our public education system. As Irene mentioned in her introduction, I am an active parent with many years' experience in the public school system as a student, as a parent, as a school secretary, and now as the office manager of Sioux Teachers Association. I have four kids. My 21-year-old daughter graduated in 2000. My three 15-year-olds better graduate in 2006. My son, one of the triplets, was tested and identified with ADHD. His experiences in school has broadened my experiences and has honed my advocacy skills. Teachers are the reason our public school system is doing as well as it is today. Too bad the government doesn't see fit to acknowledge your leadership, dedication, expertise, and commitment. Every time I hear Christy Clark's voice, I clench my teeth even now. The arrogance of the Liberal government may be their undoing. Unfortunately, they have managed to turn the focus away from real problems, like underfunding, and have us picking on each other instead. Underfunding is a huge, huge problem. Some parents, unfortunately, have bought the Liberal government's line, blaming teachers and unions for the chronic shortage of money for resources and supplies. The government says they have increased funding for public education, and they have. However, adequate funding means taking into consideration the cost of doing business. Insurance increases are horrendous after 9/11. Utilities, gas, oil, building maintenance, equipment, up-to-date computers, paper, everything has gone up. Just by looking at your own budgets, you know that even though you make a bit more money, it is not stretching as far. The cost of living has increased. Funding has not been adequate, and our children are not getting the precious resources they need now. Parents don't always hear this. What do we hear? Teacher salaries, union salaries are the reason we don't get the necessary resources for our children. Perception is 90% of my reality. What I believe is true must be true. The government is doing a bang-up job of convincing parents that you are to blame. Parents are not hearing your message. They don't hear it because you are covering the difference. You are making sure there are learning resources in your classrooms, and you are paying for it out of your own pocket. I love you for it, but as good as your intentions are, you are subsidizing the public school system, and it is costing you twofold. More money out of your pocket, and you don't get my help and support because I don't know you need it. Our trustees don't get it either. They see the balance sheet. They know the district needs more money, yet they don't do anything but cut. They say their hands are tied. Well, guess what? No, they certainly are not. If every district refused to submit a balanced budget and submitted a deficit budget instead, what could the government do? Fire them all? Not likely, but maybe, but big deal. Trustees are supposed to be standing up for our children's education. Our children might like a library to go to on a rainy day so they can read a book. Our children might like to talk to a teacher librarian because they are doing a research project and would like some books on the subject. Our children might like a counselor to talk to when they need to, not just on Monday mornings or Friday afternoons. Our children might like a textbook that they don't have to share with another class or that isn't photocopied. Our children just might like to have a few less students in the class so that when they lift their hands for help, the teacher actually has time to help them. Our children might like the opportunity for a chance to have a music program. You can't tell me parents wouldn't stand up and take notice if districts started telling them like it was, instead of making cut after cut after cut. Remember my son? In grade one, he was tested. In grade seven, I had to pay $1,200 for the same testing just so that we could see what had changed and so that we could get him the help he needed. How many more children are going untested? How many more children would love to be able to fit in, to have some friends, to be able to have some strategies to use when they feel they can't cope? How many more children would love to be successful at school, bring home a note saying what a good day they had, have a teacher who could spend time with them and help them turn their lives around? We need funding, adequate funding to provide the resources to give each child the gift of a well-rounded education. Having triplets has really been a blessing. It has really opened my eyes to a lot of misconceptions among the public and changed a lot of my personal views. Standardized tests, for example, given to students in grades 4, 7, and 10, and used to rank schools against each other, needs to stop. Toss them out the garbage. The money saved by not printing, giving, marking, data entering, comparing, publishing results, and mailing out test scores could really fund some serious resources for schools. The only thing testing proves it is a waste of valuable time and resources. I have three individuals who are the same age, raised with the same values, and pretty much the same rules, and yet they are all different. Each one has their strengths and their weaknesses. Each one has their own work ethics and areas of expertise. Each one has their own goals and desires, and each one of them handles tests differently. How would the Fraser Institute rate me as a school? The public school system is supposed to be an education system for all. Everyone is welcome. Everyone has a right to a good, well-rounded education. Each public school should be able to offer drama, music, sports, academics, and art. Public schools should not have to cut programs that offer an insight into another world that students may not experience at home. Public schools should not have to set up a business or woo corporations just to get funding to keep a program we should be offering anyways. This is wrong. This is dangerous, and it sends the wrong message. Corporate sponsorship funds a lot of things. I know that it helps make trips happen, allows teams to travel or get new jerseys, buy the latest equipment, brings speakers into schools. But it also sends out the message that our public education system is for sale, that we will be one big billboard of advertising, that the almighty buck is the most important thing, that material items far outweigh values and morals. I do not want my child injured because someone wanted his Nikes, or beat up because he wore the wrong color, or shunned because I couldn't afford the Nikes in the first place. I don't want any child to go to school and have to pass through metal detector, or have a police dog sniff him, or have his locker raided. I don't want my education dollars going towards security guards and drug enforcement officers. I am not willing to pay this price. Commercialism does not belong in our schools. Schools should not be a competition of who has the best equipment and the best clothes and the most things. Corporate sponsorship is not worth this price. Speaking of extras, my biggest pet peeve is field trips and outings that exclude certain kids. My kids do not get to go on ski trips and fun days because I could not afford to shell out the $20 or $40 or $60 each. And that usually wasn't all of the expensive either. They would probably need equipment rental money and food on top of that. My kids had to stay behind in another class and work while their friends and peers had a blast. I implore you to please consider all expenses when planning field trips and thinking of those parents who will be embarrassed and devastated because their child is excluded through no fault of their own. I cannot tell you how many times I resented school and was really miserable from the pressure of trying to find enough funds so my kids would not be left out. If at all possible, consider fundraising. It is an excellent opportunity for teaching planning, organizational skills, budgeting, and goal setting. Dignity and respect for all is so important. It really is time to stop judging and start appreciating everyone around us. Every person on this earth is an individual. Every student in your class is an individual that has been brought up differently than anyone else. Every student in our school deserves the recognition that they are unique, that some of their needs are different than others. A healthy public school system needs a healthy, positive learning environment, which in turn produces healthy, positive, well-educated, productive, self-sufficient people. Just think of the money that would be saved if every child left school full of self-confidence and self-esteem. Teachers, parents aren't always happy with everything you do. Shocked? Probably not. Our vision is somewhat tunneled, and our number one focus is our children and their education. We may appear overprotective at times, but show us it will affect us, and we will be on that bandwagon. Keep communicating with us, the good and the bad. Before I close, I just want to say this. I love my kids. I love being with my kids. I try to attend all of my children's activities and support them in all of their endeavors. I am a past honor queen and now an active parent volunteer with Job's Daughters, an incredible youth group for young women. And there are days when they really give me a run for my money. But as much as I love doing this, as much as I give, I get out tenfold. I honestly do not think I have the patience to be surrounded by extra children on a daily basis. Sometimes I don't even have the patience for my own. My son went on to meet some very wonderful, positive teachers. One particular teacher really inspired him, believed in him, and wouldn't give up. She encouraged him to complete his work assignments, offered him help after school, called him on his poor behavior when necessary, but always took each day as a new day. She called me frequently, not just to let me know when he was uncooperative, but when he had some great days too. This meant so much to me and really helped me get through some really tough spots. Also, I cannot tell you how much this caring changed my son's outlook. He had this teacher for 2 years, and it has been the best 2 years of his schooling so far. Because of her, he likes going to school and is willing to cooperate and try to accomplish his work. He does have the occasional bad day, but can handle it better. He is involved in school sports and league sports. He's making good choices and in his friends, and he is happy, truly happy. My hat goes off to each and every one of you for believing in our children, for spending the time with our children, for putting up with our children's challenging behavior at times, and for continuing to teach our children in these difficult and sometimes very unappreciative times. You rock. Thank you.